Acts chapter number 1. Hudson, are you at Acts 1? Can you stand up and read verse 8 nice and loud for us? Acts 1:8. Whole thing. Don't skip a word. Thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. God, it's good to have something to sing about. And Lord, I thank you for how good you are. How good you are to us. God, thank you for salvation. Thank you for eternal security. Thank you for the peace that passes all understanding. Thank you for unconditional love and mercy and grace and your faithfulness to us. God, thank you for purpose and hope. God, thank you for the promise that you're going to come back again. Thank you for those that are waiting for us on the other side. God, thank you for this pulpit to be able to preach behind. Thank you for the Word of God that I know is perfectly preserved. No errors. Lord, I pray as we open it up here tonight that you'd work in our midst. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. We get magazines and catalogs sent to the church. Some helpful, some not. Some companies that their business is to help churches. They sell Bibles and things that any church would need. From communion cups to a lot of money on programs and things to best equip you to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And some of them are very helpful tools. But the greatest tool in soul winning is the Holy Spirit of God. Because what we mess up in word, the Holy Spirit fixes in heart. So much so that we can make an utter fool. I don't recommend it. But the Lord uses some strange ways and strange things, and may I even say some strange people, comes down and is a witness and is the power behind the Word of God. It is the greatest tool in soul winning. And may I say this, I just listened to a series on this, and some of the guys that we listened to this, but listen to the statement, God is more interested in developing messengers than He is messages. He's working on preparing you to take the gospel to those that have never heard. The message is settled. We just have to go and present it. So as we prepare for soul winning, there's three areas that we need to prepare for. The most important is our spiritual relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to Ephesians chapter number 6. We can read books, and we'll talk about that. And we can have the right gospel tract just laid out so right. But I'm telling you, it's more than that. It is more than that. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. How on earth can I be strong in the Lord? By being right with the Lord. How on earth can I go out with the power of God? By being right with God. Often we overlook that in soul winning. Well, I'll just grab my Bible. I'll just grab a little red book. These things are great. A million of them have been printed. So thankful for Brother Gianetto or a chick track or something of that sort. And I'll just, what about you? Have you prepared you? Because this isn't just any kind of battle. It's a spiritual battle. And it says this in verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Hey, Christian, if we intend to make an impact on eternity, you understand there's an enemy that wants to slow us down. I was looking at watching a video this past week of some people traveling through Ukraine in vehicles, and throughout the streets are laid landmines. And they're taking their car, and they're in a diagonal, and he's got his tires in between the rows of landmines. He's like, whew, man, you better be careful. Hey, what do you think you're doing when you go out trying to do something for the Lord? You think it's going to go unnoticed? It says this, hey, there's some attacks coming, but if we're right and how we should be, we'll be able to withstand those things. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You understand the battle when we go and tell someone about the Lord Jesus Christ isn't between you and that person standing at the door? It's a spiritual battle. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And then it says this, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And I'm thankful for those young people that sang that song tonight, I choose to be a Christian. That's what it is. Hey, there is not sure if you're aware of this, but there's a lot of young people forsaking the faith. Why is that? Well, there's a lot of different reasons that we can put forth, but you understand, inevitably it comes down to a choice of that young person. Say, well, they saw a hypocritical Christianity. Of course they did. Because people are Christians. At home, I heard one thing and saw another. I'm not condoning that. I don't think that's right behavior. I don't think that's a good idea. I don't think that's going to develop strong Christians. But what do you expect? We're people. We mess up sometimes. If you're waiting for perfection, you got to wait till heaven. They're choosing to leave. Why? What happened? Devil got in there. Man, wouldn't it be good to, hey, at the end of the day, there was a group of young people that stood for the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, I love that. The platform was packed tonight with young people. Little people that up here and over here. They don't know the words. Just looking around, trying. Some little bit older people standing right here. And there they are with their own voice. I choose to be a Christian. I will follow Christ. Hey, that's a spiritual decision. You better be prepared for that. It's about a spiritual relationship. An effective soul winner needs to be right in their relationship with the Lord. So how do I do that? Well, you need to do some things consistently. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but after salvation, you still sin. It's not right, it's not good, and it's never beneficial. But if those things do happen, what should we do? Number one, here's some things to do to maintain a spiritual relationship with the Lord. Number one, when we sin, confess it. Our sin nature hinders our fellowship with God. That's what 1 John is all about. To restore fellowship, we must confess our sins. And the blessing is he promises to forgive us and to cleanse us from all of that. So next week when we go out as a church, and we're going to give you all the tools, right? There you are. You're going to have bus flyers. You're going to have gospel tracts. You might even have brand new door hangers. They're ordered. I don't know. Who knows? Will they show up? Maybe. I don't know. I hope so. There you are. But more important than any of that, as you go out, is your heart right? Yeah, you're going to be able to stand there, and I know God's word does not return void, and we'll talk about that. But are you right? That's why we don't just get everybody here, pack them into vehicles, and send them out. We take some time and pray. We pray openly and honestly between us and the Lord as we confess our sin. Lord, forgive me. I got short with somebody on the way here to soul winning. Have you ever gotten a disagreement on the way to church? And you come in, and where's my Bible? I don't know, it's in the back. Oh, man. And arguing and fighting. Give me that. And you walk in, and teenage boy's holding the door. Good evening, so good to see you tonight. How's your afternoon? Great, I got a nap. I ate, you know, this or that. And come in here, trying to find the hymnal, and fighting on the way over. Man, no different going to soul winning Saturday morning. Saturday morning, are you kidding me? 10 o'clock? It might as well be 5 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday morning. 10 o'clock, trying to get people to church on a Saturday. There you are, you're just trying to find your kid Saturday morning. Do you have clothes on? Good, let's go. I don't care what it is. Son, the dress looks fine. Get on, get in there. And you come in, and is your heart right? Say no. Why don't you confess that? Why don't you get rid of that sin? Because that sin hinders your relationship with the Lord. If we're going to prepare for soul winning, number one, we need to have a spiritual relationship, and that's had by regularly and consistently confessing our sin. Number two, surrendering completely to the Lord. We need to empty ourselves of self for the Lord to fill us with himself. God, I'm not going to do what I want to do today. I'm going to do what you want me to do today. I guarantee next Saturday, here's how it's going to go. You're going to set your alarm. You're going to set it early so you can get up and have some Bible time, just you and the Lord and a cup of coffee before the kids get up. And that alarm goes off and you're like, just 10 more minutes. Just 10, 15, 20, 30, 40. It's time to go! You know what? It's just too late. I'm not going to do it. Now, why don't you make a decision to just completely surrender? God, whatever you want to do with me. God, I want to be used by you today. Look at Romans chapter 12, familiar verses, verses we've gone through so many times. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Imagine next week or tomorrow or Tuesday we wake up and say, God, just do with me today what you want. Would that be a good way to start our day? Wouldn't that be a good way if every day we decide to daily take up our cross and follow the Lord Jesus Christ? I believe that's in there. That's what he wants from us. And to maintain a spiritual relationship, number one, we got to confess our sin. Number two, regularly and consistently, we need to surrender our will to the will of the Father. That's hard sometimes. Well, this is what I want to do. Yeah, but what does God want to do? Not just next Saturday. Every day. What does God want to do with you? Consistently confess our sin. Number two, consistently surrender completely to the Lord. Number three, consistently study God's Word. There's 1,000,002 different podcasts out there. You can listen and learn about American history and science and what's going on in the world, news and sports and comedy and crime dramas and all that. Do you listen to the Word of God? Do you listen to preaching? Are you preaching three times a week? Yeah. Are you studying the Word of God? Are you reading the Word of God? Are we regularly reading the Word of God? Why read books about the Word of God? Sam Gipp, right? Why read a book about a book that you don't read? But if you are reading the Word of God, sure, read another book about it. Maybe you're studying the book of Galatians or something. Read it. Where did Mr. Perico? Is he here? Oh, there you are. I looked over there. You weren't there. Threw me way off. I'm like, whoa, he looks so good and young. Not that you look bad. Stop it. You're a mess. I told you. Stop. You're putting words in my mouth. Maybe you're studying the book of Galatians or you're studying Greek and you're reading about that stuff. Hey, that's good. Do you study God's Word? We'll watch YouTube videos about 1,000 different things. How about good stuff about the Word of God? There's a lot of crazy ness out there about that. Make sure you get into some good stuff. If you need help with that, let me know. Meditate on the Word of God. Do you know through the Word of God, God will teach you about Himself? 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Daniel, are you at 2 Timothy 2? Can you read verse 15, just the first word? Can you read that? Just the first word. Study. That's all you wanted, just the first word. Hold on. Study. What should we be studying, Daniel? What do you think? Word of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Don't be satisfied with not knowing the answers. Study it out. Study God's word. Listen to God's word. Meditate on God's word. Read God's word consistently. Well, we got visitation this week. I better read something before I come. No, do it consistently, regularly. Pray. Fourthly, pray. So what do I pray for? If we're preparing for soul winning, here's some things to pray for. Talk to God about your fears. Ask for direction. Have the right spirit. Protection. Strength over temptation. You'd be amazed at what shows up at visitation. Going door to door, all of a sudden, something standing before you. Lord, help us here. Help me to have the right spirit. I'm telling you, we've been going door to door the last few months, and there's you come to the door, and there's stickers that you don't agree with on the door. There's a lifestyle that you're not in favor of. There's a aroma coming out of the room, and it's just like, Lord, help me to have the right spirit. Lord, I'm afraid. I need courage, Lord. Can you help me with that? Maybe you need to pray and just thank Him and praise Him for leading and guiding and working. Look at Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter 4 and number 6. Verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Had the blessing of spending some time with Mr. and Mrs. Hodges this week. You know what Mrs. Hodges would love to do? Come out and go door to door this Saturday. You know what Mrs. Hodges can't do? Come out and go door to door with us this Saturday. Say, why not? Physically, she can't do that. Hey, if you're able to, maybe you just want to thank the Lord. Oh, thank you for the ability. You know what? It's amazing. She has a heart to tell other people about the Lord, and God is bringing people to her. It's amazing. And we rejoiced and we thank God in prayer over that very circumstance. But be thankful what you can do. Maybe you need to pray for a desire to win souls. Wouldn't it be a shame if Christians had no desire to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ? This morning we talked about the difference between the Levite and the priest and then the Samaritan. The Samaritan had something that the other two didn't have: compassion. Lord, give me compassion for the lost. Maybe you want to pray specifically for names. You go out and you talk to somebody and praying for people that we've met at their door. Hey, if I have a good just conversation, I'll ask them, what's your name? Praying for specific names. Maybe you need to pray for opportunities. God, wouldn't it be something I know, again, kind of piggybacking on the message this morning, but by chance, I mean, there was the Good Samaritan. There's a man left for dead. And by chance, the Bible says, the Lord sends a priest because there was a need. Wouldn't it be something as we prepare for soul winning and we are prayed up and then you are the answer to someone's prayer? Could you imagine? We don't know. You don't know. But maybe next Saturday as you prepare spiritually and you're praying, that someone else is praying, God, if you're real, will you send someone by my way? Maybe Friday night was like every other Friday night and they lived a disaster of a life and they woke up Saturday morning not remembering a thing and their life is a mess and they just cried out to God in tears and said, God, if you're real, I need you to show me. Wouldn't it be a shame if that was our by chance? Hi, my name's Nick. This is Daniel. We're from Walker Bible Baptist Church. Just out inviting people to church. Can I leave you with a gospel track? Can I get... Where are you? Do you know I... And all of a sudden, the Lord takes this and brings it together. Pray for opportunities. Pray for boldness. Talk to the Lord. Say, I'm not a good soul winner. I'm nervous. Tell the Lord. Say, God, I'm afraid. God, we need direction. I need the right spirit. We need protection. Strength over temptation. We need to praise and thank Him. We need a desire to win souls, a compassion for the lost. Pray for specific names, for opportunities, for boldness. The most important preparation for soul winning is the spiritual side. Number two, Proverbs chapter 11. The second two are much shorter. Proverbs chapter number 11. Verse 30, the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. It's a wise thing to go out soul winning, and it takes a little bit of wisdom to be a soul winner. Use wisdom and tact when soul winning. Remember this, the lost do not comprehend necessarily their need for salvation. They don't understand all the terms. You start throwing the words sanctified and justified and salvation, man, they might not know what that means. Do you understand that your iniquities are separated between my what? Hey, they're just going to take some tact. They're just going to take some explanation. Number one, the spiritual preparation. Number two, the mental preparation. We're going to have to help the lost understand their lost condition. Say, what's the best way to do that? Hebrews chapter number four. Hebrews chapter number four. I heard a great thought this past week, and it said this: evangelism produces discipleship, which when done right produces more evangelism. So let's think about that. As we go out and we talk to other people about the Lord Jesus Christ, and they get saved, and then we take the Word of God and teach them the Word of God. As we teach them the Word of God, all of a sudden there ought to be a natural spiritual response to, I need to go tell someone else too. So that's where it begins, with soul winning. Telling others, training others, and then going out and telling others again. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, it says this: For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrows and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Say, how on earth could I get to the heart of a person within moments? The word of God can do that. Without wisdom, we could offend. It's easy. The ability to establish a good relationship with a person. Sometimes it takes time. Yes, next Saturday we're going door to door, a lot of cold visits, but maybe you've been talking to the guy at work. Maybe you've been talking to your neighbor and she lives next door. Time, sincerity, being genuine, developing trust. Hey, someone tells you something personal about their life. Hey, honey, listen to this. You would not believe what's going on in her life. Whoa. What are you doing? Be friendly. Avoid arguing. Go with me to 2 Timothy. How many of you have anybody here have a teenage girl? Yeah. Anybody? Any teenage girls? All right. Anybody ever have a teenage girl? Okay, yeah. Where's Brother Rodell? Brother Rodell's got enough if you need to borrow one. I don't know. Maybe it's just ours, but sometimes they like to discuss. Avoid arguing. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 23, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid. 2 Timothy 2:23. I love my daughters. They're wonderful. And they're growing and learning. That's part of growing up. I'm glad they come to their dad and ask them questions. I'm glad they come to their mom and ask them questions about life and faith and all of that. And Lord, help us if we get short with them and not take the patience and time to instruct them according to the Word of God. Quick little family lesson there. All right, very good. Back to soul winning. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 23. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive. No, I'm a good arguer. Leave that home. But be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. And meekness instructing those that impose themselves. See, that's what it is. They don't know. They don't know this, but the lost do not comprehend their need for salvation. So, in meekness, we have to instruct those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance, the acknowledging of the truth. Here we stand with the truth, and we got to help them through the process. Avoid off-topic questions. Why? Because there may not be a scriptural answer. Some people want to know why God does things. Why did I have to be careful? You might not be able to answer that because you're not God. Those questions may, or topics may lead away from the gospel message. It may lead to a disagreement. Hey, we're not here to talk about who we voted for or where we think the country is headed or are we on good times or bad. We're here to tell other people about the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's most important. Our teenagers, man, they ask some interesting questions, right? Joe was asking me the other day, can God make a rock so big? Right, didn't you? Right? That he can't lift it. It's like, no, but he can do anything. Yeah, but no, stop. Avoid. Avoid foolish and unlearned questions. Why? There's no answer to that. Hey, that's a great question. Let's talk about that another time. What about you? What about that verse we just read? There's some people that don't want to deal with that, and they'll just make a joke and try and get away from that. It takes wisdom and tact. Here's another really important thing in talking to people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Leave the door open for the next guy. Remember that. It doesn't all hinge on today. We'll take the opportunity as far as we can go with it. And certainly the best day to get saved is today. But we don't want to push an issue so far where that turns that person away from the gospel. So when the next guy comes, he says, oh no, last guy I talked to wouldn't let me go. So let's make sure that we leave the door open. We walk away friendly. Even if we confront someone that's not friendly. Hey, that's going to take spiritual preparation and mental astuteness, sharpness. Spiritually prepared, mentally prepared. Thirdly, you said the second one was going to go quicker. I think it was longer than the first. I'm sorry. Thirdly, physical preparation. This is last. This is the last because this is where it fits in. But it does need to be said. There needs to be an attention to physical appearance. When we're telling others and we're representing the Lord Jesus Christ, hey, if you had a meeting with the President of the United States, you are going to go out and get a new suit. You're going to make sure your shoes are sharp. You're going to maybe a new dress. Why? Because you're meeting with somebody important. You're representing something. Hey, it's no different like with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not saying you got to wear a full tuxedo or suit, but make sure you look nice. I mean, you woke up out of bed and you didn't do anything with your hair. And hey, your physical preparation, try and be a little pleasant with that. How so? Smile. You want this? It's the truth. But there's no smiling. There's no friendliness. Why on earth would anybody want what you got? Listen, this doesn't cost anything. Be clean. We can go through personal hygiene, but a oral aroma, let's try and keep that clean. We don't want to be offensive. Don't want to hurt anybody when we're talking to them. You understand what I'm saying? So what are you saying? Brush your teeth. That's what I'm saying. Chew gum if you need to, but don't chew gum when you're talking to somebody. Do your hair. Smell nice. Be pleasant. Hey, I just got in from hunting. I got blood all over my arm, but, you know, here, this is the truth. I mean, you know, got mud all over. And can we come in? I mean, so whoever was up here, over here, we got mud all over the place. And, yeah, I was just walking around in the backwoods and, you know, and I'm here to tell you about the, whew. No, prepare yourself. We ought to do that all the time, though, yes? I mean, clean yourself up. Ladies, do your hair. Gentlemen, do your hair. They have cologne and things. And I know, Mr. Naparella. We'll be careful with it. Mr. Naparella has a very strong allergy to a breathing reaction to that. So if you put a lot of stuff on, no hugging on Mr. Naparella. Probably no hugging on Mr. Naparella anyways. But last verse, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. We'll get out of here while we can. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Just be clean, be sharp. Person at the door doesn't need to know who your favorite sports team is or, you know, don't have cuts and rips in your stuff. Just wear nice stuff. Look sharp, okay? You can do that with a polo shirt and, you know, whatever, but we don't want to wear something or do something that would take away from the message is what I'm saying. I do not recommend wearing black pants and a white shirt and a name tag and carrying a satchel. Say, why not? Well, because you represent something. You look like something else. All right? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. The Bible says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. We represent the Lord Jesus Christ, who is perfect and holy in every way, which we are not, but we can do our best. Spiritually prepare. Be consistent in these things that we said. Be consistent in confessing our sin and surrendering ourselves to the Lord and the study of God's Word and reading it regularly and praying. Praying for those things. Mentally prepare and establishing good relationships with people. Relationships take time. I don't know, I'm not ready for that. That's like the Levite looking at what... No, that's going to cost me too much. I'm going to go on this side of the street. We can't do that. No, we got to consider the cost and be willing to pay that. Let's use wisdom. Let's be friendly. Avoid arguing. Listen. A great way to have an opportunity to speak is to listen to somebody. You'd be amazed how much you can learn about a person simply by listening. And then physically prepare. Give some attention to your physical appearance. Be pleasant, smile, be clean. Let us remember that we are ambassadors for Christ. There's a lot of things that we could represent. God says, "You're representing me." Oh man. Talk about lofty expectations. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ then, be reconciled to God. Ambassadors. How to prepare to be a good soul winner. Spiritually, mentally, and physically. Let's all stand. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, I don't know what on earth you were even talking about tonight. Well, let me ask you this question. If you were to die tonight, where would you spend eternity? Say, I don't know. I don't know. That's why I come to church. I was hoping you could tell me. That's a conversation. That's not a moment. If you're here tonight and you have that very question, do not leave this place without talking to me, talking to my wife. There's some ladies here. There's some other gentlemen that would love to show you from the Scriptures God's simple plan of salvation. It would be a shame if you came all this way and weren't given an opportunity to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, to have the sin penalty forever forgiven. That's the greatest gift ever given. Ever. Number two, maybe you're here tonight and say, I need to prepare daily to be a good soul winner. I'm an ambassador. We all are ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. In a moment, the music's going to play. If you'd like to get saved and have someone show you from the Scriptures what it means to be a child of God, to be a Christian, not a member here, you're not going to... But what does God say about your sin, and how do you get rid of the penalty of sin? He paid for the whole thing. And then number two, Lord, help me. Maybe you want to come in some of those prayers that we were talking about tonight. Maybe you're scared half to death to talk to someone about the Lord. You know what the devil will do? He'll tell you this. He'll say this. Man, you're going to mess things up. You better keep your mouth quiet. You're going to do more damage than good. And he'll scare you out of saying anything. Say, Lord, that's me. I am afraid, not because I'm afraid of what the person would do. I just don't want to mess anything up. Maybe you need to come and talk to the Lord and say, Lord, give me the courage, give me the words, give me the opportunity. Maybe you want to come and pray and say, Lord, help me to be the answer to someone else's prayer. We heard this morning, there are people that have been abused by this world that are looking for help. And we walk by so often. Heavenly Father, I ask you, bless this time of invitation here tonight. Lord, touch our heart. Lord, give us compassionate eyes. Lord, help us to see these things. Maybe someone here tonight wants to come and pray for someone specifically. Lord, bless this time of invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here tonight? Maybe you want to come and tell the Lord, Lord, I am afraid. Lord, I need the right spirit. I know I don't see things right. Lord, would you give me a desire to win souls? A compassion for the lost. Maybe there's a name. Maybe a friend, a loved one, a neighbor. Maybe you want to come and just bring their name before the throne of God. Say, God, give me another opportunity. Maybe there's sin in your life. And it's broken fellowship between you and God. Very first point, maybe you just want to come and confess your sin. Remember, He is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. God is more interested in developing messengers than messages. He wants to work with you.